Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to John 3:16. And let's read. Let's read 16 and 17. Are you there? Let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And John 13 in the Amplified Bible says, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. Amen. Well, this being the Thanksgiving season, one of the things we believe around here is that Thanksgiving is a lifestyle, not a season. Okay. But this is the time when the world celebrates Thanksgiving. And so I just got impressed to, God gave me a lesson called Always Be Thankful. Because we have to be thankful in all things. No matter how big they are, no matter how small they are, no matter what it is, I'm going to show you that in the scriptures in a moment. I don't care what comes or how it comes, we're to be thankful, we're to give thanks. Even if I get a bad report, especially if you get a bad report. Okay? Look at 1 Thessalonians. And we may look at a few more scriptures than I usually do when I teach. But God just wanted you to see some things. And, you know, don't zone out because you say, well, I know this. Because one of the things, I'm not saying that you don't, but one of the things that I found out in my life, okay, I'll talk about me, is that I may have knowledge of something. I may have, memorized something, but I didn't know it. Because if I knew it, I would be doing it. So really, when we say we know it, what we're really saying is, I know of that. I've been in a number of conversations and have heard myself say, I know what the Bible says. I know the Bible says thus and so. I know that. But there's no evidence of it in my life. So the question is, do I really know it? Or have I just heard it? The young people that kind of grew up here with me as a youth director will tell you, I wasn't big on memorizing Bible verses. You say, that's sacrilege. No. My point was this. What good is it to memorize the verse and not know how to make it work? Amen. What I had them do, no, whatever verse you have memorized, find out what it means to you and learn how to put it to work. If you only know how to make one verse work, do that. I mean, if you're driving a stick shift and you only know how to get in first gear, that'll get you going for a while, at least, if you learn how to kick in the second gear. But at least you're going. At least you're moving. So please don't tune out, because none of this should be unfamiliar. But in 1 Thessalonians, we're going to read in a few translations, but in the King James, let's read it together, in verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5. Did I say that? No. Oh, I apologize. See what I mean? I thought I knew I said it. Okay. Are we there? Let's read it. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. How many of you knew that giving thanks to God in everything was the will of God for you? It says this is the will of God. The Contemporary English Version says, whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants you to do. The Amplified Bible, I like the way the Amplified Bible puts this. To thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks. No matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ, the revealer and mediator of that will. So according to those verses, no matter what comes, it doesn't matter if it afflicts, antagonizes, blesses, however it comes, we have an obligation to give thanks. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. You know, so I get a report. I go to the doctor for a checkup. You come back and you were given a report that says you have stage 4 cancer. You say, I'm supposed to give thanks for that? How many of you say yes? How many of you say no? How many of you not sure? That's good. I'm not setting you up. But this doctor has said, you know, from these tests, this shows you have maybe 6-7 months to live. And I'm supposed to give thanks for this? Hey. Father, see, actually some of you, you're interested for it, in it. Well, I'm going to show you scriptures that say both. Some say for, some say in. But wait a minute now, let's think about this. What has God said concerning you? Go, don't be afraid, you can say it. With his stripes you are
healed.
You're fearfully and wonderfully made. With long life will I satisfy it. I mean, so God has already said all of these things, and somebody is now saying something contrary to what God said. And we know that God said, I watch over my word to perform it. And someone is saying, it's giving you something that's contrary to what God said. I got the phone call, and my urologist said, I said, hello? He said, this is Dr. Barr. I said, hey, hi, Dr. Barr. He said, I'm so sorry. I'm like, about what? He said, I'm so sorry. I'm like, what's going on? Just tell me. He said, the biopsies were positive. You have prostate cancer. Okay. Father, I thank you. I did. I said, Father, I thank you. Because I don't know how you're going to handle it. All I know is you're going to handle this. And then I said something else that even stunned me because I wasn't thinking about it. I said, Father, I thank you that this happened to me because I know what to do about it.
Yes.
And it didn't happen to someone that didn't know and is going to die from this thing. This ain't killing me. So what do you want me to do about it? And I didn't say anything else. And I was driving up. We were doing Saturday Bible study at the Village. And then Pastor Ed was just Ed. But he was on the board of directors along with Minister Joseph. And they kind of tricked me into agreeing to do Bible study at the Village every Saturday. I thought they were talking about one Saturday. But I was on my way up there, and I was getting off then at exit 305, and I was playing Righteous Now, the CD, and the song came on, There Is Nothing That You Need That I Won't Supply. There's nothing that I need that you won't provide. If, right. And I believed. Because I've been waiting to hear from God concerning this report. And he let me know, whatever's needed, I'm going to provide it. But see, I was acting on that from the beginning. When I heard it and I said, thank you. Because see, when you say thank you, you're saying that because you believe you have received something, or you're about to receive. Someone has promised to do something or give you something that has some value to you, and you take them at their word. And first of all, if they say, I'm going to give you this, you say, thank you. You haven't gotten it yet, but they said they're going to do it, and you believe them. So you said, thank you. And then when they give it to you, you say, thank you. You don't just take and say, well, they said they were going to give it to me, so no big deal. We say thank you. No matter what it is, we get excited about it. I was looking at this movie, watching this movie. Everybody, you know, seen the movie Little Giants with the football team, football movie, right? Okay, I want a good laugh. I watched that movie, and just in short, he had these two brothers. Older brother was this big athletic hero, I guess, and his little brother was just a little brother. He was like the runt of the litter, so to speak. And they're in this town, and now they have two football teams. Of course, the older brother has this football team with these young beasts on there, and the other one had a football team with these little runts. Right? <Yeah. laughs> They had Emmitt Smith come and talk to them, and so they're playing this big game. And I mean, they're getting pummeled all over the place. And they're thinking about quitting, and he gives them, you know, a little scenario. So they come out the second half and they're ripping and roaring and ready to go, and they run this play, and you know, the way it should, it looks like they've run like 15 yards stuff, and the guy gets down and they mark it, and they said, we gained a yard. Okay, and they got so excited because they gained 1 yard. They got excited over the little things. See, we need to say thank you when we have these little victories that come. We need to say thank you and stop thinking, well, this is just insignificant. How many of we acknowledge that whatever we have comes from God? So when something comes, where'd it come from? So our response should be, thank you. Thank you. We spend too much time trying to analyze the value of what God has done to see if we should say thank you. But the dictionary says that people say thanks or thank you to express gratitude, appreciation, or acknowledgement. How many of you appreciate what God has done? How many of you appreciate what Jesus did for us? Then we need to say thank you. And not just on Thursday before we sit down and overeat. Okay. See, thank you can be expressed by an action, but it's usually expressed with words. I mean, we can show acts of thanksgiving. You know, I'm thankful for my wife. I'm home. I'm tired. I'm relaxing, but it's my day off. She's still working. She comes home. I want to have dinner ready so she can eat. Why? I'm thankful. They have a wife. Healthy, mobile, smart, kind of cute too. Okay. But I'm thankful. So that there are things that I do that just say I'm thankful. That's why, guys, you will always hear me preaching or even harping on how you treat your wives, because since the Bible says, whoever finds a wife finds a and obtaineth, and God bless you with a wife, so that means you have a good thing and you have favor from the Lord, so you need to learn how to say and not let your thank yous be dependent on how you perceive her actions or her words. I mean, Pastor Clinton is the one that told me I needed to be grateful to have a wife that would correct my speech. No, I'm serious. But I needed that. I was like, we was. Like, no, it's we were. Yeah, we was. I'm thankful for that. Yeah, I would fracture the English language. Okay. See, thankfulness is also, it says it's a mental or verbal expression of one's acknowledgement and appreciation. But simply put, listen to this. Thankfulness is an acquired attitude or mindset. That's what it is. You have to have a mindset to be thankful. Otherwise, someone can give you something and you just think that you're entitled to it and never say thank you. You know, when we think about it, when we get our paychecks, we should say thank you. But we don't. We say, they owe me that because of the way I worked. But then we say it's God that provides all our need. So if God provided through that company and you had to do a little work to get it, when you get it, you say, thank you. Look, you said, thank you, Father. You know, thank you. Have you ever heard of people that cashed their paycheck and it bounced? Oh, yeah. You better start saying thank you. So if everybody else's check bounced, yours will go through. Oh, thank you. We're going to do a little experiment here, okay? Well, not an experiment, a little illustration. I have this book here, Ministering to the Brokenhearted. Okay? Let's see.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Okay? Okay. See, that just gave a gift, and I got the response, thank you. And that moved me. Because he showed some gratitude that he had gotten something, showed some appreciation. You know, didn't act like, well, you should give me something. I sit here all the time. He got it. Wasn't expected. But he said, thank you. And I keep thinking about that. And I keep thinking, I said, you know, man, he really showed some gratitude. That was really nice. You know what? Here.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. See, now there's this level of excitement that comes because you keep giving thanks for what's been provided for you, and it does something. It gets you going. And the person that had gave it, you know, they're stoked. They're like, yes, they really appreciate all that I've done for them. You know that? I just so love the way they appreciate it. I'm just like, look at that. All right. See? Now there's some adoration that comes. Because you keep saying thank you, God keeps providing for you, and your whole attitude and mindset starts to change. And God keeps thinking about it, and said, you know, they're just so appreciative of just everything that I do for them. I'm just going to make sure I just keep doing what I said I would do for them. Here you go. Okay. All right. I mean, But think about attitudes changing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay? Just two simple words that we use them And again, he wasn't expecting anything, but he just got blessed. And he was so thankful. And the blesser was like, you know, I still just...
Thank you, Betsy.
And he... But notice what he did. He got up and went to meet his blessing, saying, thank you. You need to understand that. Okay? God desires to bless his people. But we have to start operating his will. And we read the scripture that says, giving thanks is the will of God concerning us. Started out small. Didn't matter. He didn't say, well, everything that they have, they're just going to give me this little book? What's up with that? No. You didn't have to get anything. Anything. Someone goes and hands you a penny. Thank you, Lord. That's one penny more than I had. Okay? Instead, most of us, we'll look at a penny on the street and keep on stepping. I know, not my wife or me. As a matter of fact, my wife, if a coin falls on the floor and she's in the room, she can tell me if it's a penny, a dime, a nickel, or a quarter. And I do it. I come and drop, and she's, I drop two and said, that was a nickel and a dime. I'm like, See, the original settlers here, they celebrated Thanksgiving because they were thankful to God, because they had a harvest. What would have happened? Would they have given thanks if Squanto and his tribe never taught them how to fish and grow corn? Would they have still given thanks if they didn't have a bumper crop? If they just had enough to maybe barely eke by, would they have still felt as thankful? I don't know. But that's a question we have to all individually ask ourselves. Some of us in the natural have things where we can have a blowout. We can invite 70 people over and have the whole thing catered, and we give thanks. But what about those that can't? I mean, your Thanksgiving dinner is going to be a KFC special. I mean, you need to think about that. Everybody may not be in what's considered a nice home. I'm like, well, who defines what's nice and what's not? What has God provided for you? We were thankful to God for every place we ever lived. And he kept upgrading. We kept being thankful. We kept being thankful no matter what. When Horn and Hardart gave me my birthday off and then called me up, said, happy birthday. I said, oh, thank you. Said, need to talk to you, talk a little business. Okay. We want you to know that we phased out the night shift supervisor test position, because they put me into to have me a supervisor of night operations, which I thought was amazing because the night operations were doing poorly. They put me in that position. The revenue from the night operations tripled, but they phased it out. Well, I found out what they really wanted to do was phase out me, because in that time I became born again, and now I was a different person. I wasn't one of the guys anymore. I wasn't hanging out and doing the stuff. And they didn't like it. And I was very new in the Word. Very new. Infant. Still had traces of the umbilical cord. Okay. That's how new I was. And I would put on, "You promise me, and you'll take care of me," by Pastor Clinton. And I'd be on my knees, crying, tears streaming down my face, singing, "You promise me, that's why I never fret." Meanwhile, I could clean the floor with the tears coming out. And I said, "I thank you, Father. I have assurance that you'll take care of me." I said, "I have no doubt that you'll supply my need. I have no doubt. I don't know where." See, I was too new to rationalize this. That's why the Bible says that we, as newborn babes, I was a newborn babe. My fiance was working at a company where she was doing merchandising, and if cans were bent, they would just take them off the shelf in the supermarket. So I survived on bent cans of Chef Boyardee beefaroni, spaghetti and meatballs, and whatever it was. And I'm like, "Thank you, God." Okay. "Thank you. I have anything." And you know something? I would normally not eat that. But it was like filet mignon. Filet mignon yum yum. to me. Okay. Because I didn't have it. God provided it. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I told you we had to take vacations. There was a limit to how much we could spend for a hotel room. $39.99 was extravagant. And it had to be near a McDonald's. Because if they didn't have the, I think that they created that 99-cent menu for us. Because if it wasn't there, we couldn't, we didn't have it. All we had was a promise from God. So we're like, "Thank you." We didn't like the accommodations, but thank you. We didn't have to sleep in the car. Thank you. You know, we have to go to a gas station and survive one of those 5-cent candies or stuff. You know, at least we had McDonald's. So we said, "Thank you." And watch God just put us, take us from one level to another to another. Because we were showing gratitude. We were obedient to what he said to do. But more importantly, is we had what they call an attitude of gratitude about all that he has provided. And it didn't matter to us what it looked like. God said it. We acted like he did it. So we said, "Thank you." See, giving thanks to God should never be dependent on what you see. It has to be dependent on what he said. And we have to have faith in what he said, regardless of how it looks, because things can look pretty bleak. I mean, it looked pretty bleak for my grandson, our grandson yesterday. 3 minutes into the game, you're down 2 touchdowns. By the way, against a team that you have never beaten. It's very easy to go, "Here we go again." It's like, no, it doesn't matter what happened before. You've fallen today, period. Doesn't matter what we've gone through in the past. Doesn't matter what came. We had a word from God. We had a promise from God. We understood that he watches over his words to perform it. We know that he is God. So whatever comes, I can say thank you, because whatever it is, he's going to handle it. Not us. He's going to handle it. I get excited. Let me just step back and see how you're going to handle this one, Dad. that's my attitude with things. And we say, thank you. Don't care what it is. Don't care how big it is. Don't care about its reputation. It may have decimated everybody else, ain't decimating me. Because when you can say thank you, you know what you're not? Afraid. I've told you before, Pastor Clinton and I were having a conversation over in the atrium. That's when Mike, you could go to a boxer and say Mike Tyson, they'd fall out, you know, because folks were afraid. And Pastor Clinton said to me, he said, Gregory, I don't see anybody beating him. I said, oh, he can be beaten. He's like, who's going to beat him? I said, first person that's not afraid of him will beat him. He said, why do you say that? I said, he's never been hit. Everybody's been too afraid. They've been trying to stay away. But he ran into Buster Douglas, who normally would have been afraid. And when I heard about that fight, I'm like, I'm not even going to watch. That's a waste of people there to reimburse folks money for this fight. But Buster Douglas' mother died. And he dedicated the fight to his mother. When I heard that, I was like, Tyson is in trouble. And Mike Tyson hit him so hard, my jaw hurt. I'm serious. And he went down. And I'm like, oh, well, so much for that. But at 9, he got up. And a few rounds later, he hit Mike Tyson so hard, and he didn't get up. And you had a new champion. Why? He wasn't afraid. You can't be, if you're afraid, you're not going to thank God for everything or in everything because you're going to be too busy being scared of it, they say. Okay. See, do you remember when Jesus came, met the disciples, after Thomas said, unless I feel, okay? And Jesus came in and let him touch and feel. And what did Thomas say? Now I believe. And Jesus didn't say, that's good, I'm glad you believe, Thomas. He said, so you believe because you've seen with your own eyes. Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing. Even better blessings are in store that those who can say thank you when you don't believe you've received it yet. But you know it's coming. You know it's coming. You're expecting to go to the mailbox. Open the thank you, Lord, that the check, there's going to be a check in there. Lord, I thank you for it. And go home and write down, okay, it's going to be this much, so my tithe is this. This is going to be the offering. I have it all budgeted out, so when it comes, I have everything in place, ready to go. And look at it, say, thank you, Lord. I think it was 2 years ago, might have been last year, one of my wife's students, she was in a classroom and, you know, children being children, and you said, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Wait. You would said, Lord, yeah.
I have so many.
Yes.
But I was in the classroom, and I was in a small group with them, and I said, you know what? You're just talking. I don't know what to say at this moment. And one of my children said, Mrs. Carr, just say, thank you, Jesus.
Did the class quiet down? I mean, that's they laughed, then they got to work, okay? Because that little guy said, just say thank you. Even a child should lead them. See, Thanksgiving acknowledges that you have a victory even before you go into battle. And that's scripturally correct because it says, thanks be to God who always causes us to. Well, how can you triumph if you're not in the battle? We just have to know what God said. and believe it. And then say, thank you. I like 1 Corinthians. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that's a more sure word than you ever have. Thanks be to God. Always, no matter what comes, he will give us the victory. He will make us conquerors. Conquerors. As a matter of fact, scripture will make us more than a conqueror through our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember, I'm going to cut up. When I was doing this, I just had this flashback to that song by Sly and the Family Stone. I know, pray for me. No, just say, thank you, Lord. Remember that song, You Can Make It If You Try? Okay? You can make it if you try. No, you can make it because God said, thanks be to God who always causes you to triumph in victory. But some of the lyrics of that song says, work a little harder, push a little deeper. Don't let the plastic get you down. Yeah. Okay, but. So what if you have to work a little harder? Who cares if you have to push a little deeper? See, this is what God told me about those two phrases. And yeah, we talked about it. When that thought came in, I'm like, God, why am I thinking about this song? Where is it? He said, you may have to push a little harder. Didn't I say, press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling? So you push a little harder. You have to think a little deeper. He said, you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to think a little deeper and know that you wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. So we cast down all vain imaginations that say we can't. And we hold, I love the translation that said, you hold those thoughts captive until they acknowledge the authority of Jesus Christ. And when you say thank you, you're acknowledging the authority of Jesus Christ. You're acknowledging the power of God. You're acknowledging that every word that God said must come true. So you can just say, thank you. Thank you. And not just on Thursday, the last Thursday in November. Colossians says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So if everything in your world is going wrong, thank you, Father. I've been transferred out of the darkness and into the light. And just keep thanking him for that. What'll happen? You'll start acting like you're walking in the light. Your attitudes will change. Just like with our brother here, his level of expectancy changed. I know him just like some of you. You are looking at how many red bags are sitting up here. Like, Father, what else do you have in store for me? Thank you. I know you're good. Thank you. I know you provide. Thank you, Lord. The Amplified Bible says, giving thanks to God who has qualified and made us fit. Thank you, Father. You've made me fit. Fit for what? Fit for whatever the work is that you've called me to do. First Thessalonians 5:16 in the Phillips translation, I like it. It says, be happy in your faith at all times. Never stop praying. Be thankful, whatever the circumstances may be. If you follow this advice, you'll be working out the will of God expressed to you in Jesus Christ. Now, you need to understand something. God's will not automatically happen. If that were the case, Adam and Eve would have never eaten of the fruit. Never. Abraham would have gone into the promised land. Moses. Abraham would have never been with Hagar. You need to understand that. You have to work out God's will. You need to make a conscious effort to, first of all, know what God's will is, and secondly, make sure that you are doing it because you want it. And I'm telling you, folks, you're going to have opportunities to veer away from it. Because the way it looks may not necessarily be the way you want to go. So because of that, we may veer off. We may veer off. But we have to make sure this is what God said. I'm over here. But I want what God says. So I have to start moving so that my life lines up with what God said. Now I'm working out the will of God in my life. But if I don't know what God said, and I'm not willing to make any changes, I could be so far out of the will of God. And some people never get back. Cemetery is filled with people that have not fulfilled God's will for their life. So please don't think that just because it happened to you, it's God's will. Yeah, he allowed it to happen, but it was your will that made it happen, not his. Because some of us have testimonies that God didn't intend for us to have. He knew we were going to have them. He's omniscient. But that's not what he planned out for us. He had to factor it in because he knew we were going to do it. But that was not his plan. Do we really believe that it was God's plan for us to be born? Okay, I'll say it. Have several children out of wedlock from different fathers. It just, every time I think about it, these two students in the school, first graders, didn't know they were brother and sister until they had an assembly and the father showed up. They were brothers. Didn't know they were brothers. In the same class. Didn't know. You gonna tell me that's God's will? No. It was somebody's will. So you need to turn off what the television is saying about, you know, how you should be, or, you know, you need to have a mate, and, you know, it's okay. I mean, they're even getting to the point that they were told, I don't know if they passed it yet, but someone introduced legislation that marriage licenses, that you get a marriage license for 3 years. For 3 years. So you can marry, and after 3 years, that's 3 years. And folks live together like they're going to the store shopping. And you say, that's God's will? No, if that were him, then he'd have to rewrite the Bible. He said, flee fornication. He didn't say flee and cohabit so you can fornicate. He said, flee fornication. So if you're sexually pure, thank you, God, that I am still a virgin. Thank you, God, that you will keep me while you are preparing my husband. You'll keep me while you're preparing my wife. You'll keep me, God, thank you, Because you're working out all of those details. And while I'm waiting, I'm going to keep feeding on your word. I'm going to keep doing the things you told me to do. But I thank you because you have all of these other things already worked out. You said in your word, you have a purpose. You know the thoughts that you have for me. Thoughts to prosper me and not harm me. Thank you for that, Lord. I'm going to be satisfied where I am and who I am, even if I am by myself, because I can thank you because you will never leave me and you will never forsake me. So I can just say thank you and just be happy. Be happy. Thanksgiving can cause things to multiply. You remember the account of the loaves and the fish? What did Jesus do when he took the loaves and the fish? He took them, he lifted them up, and he gave thanks. He took them, and he acknowledged that God was going to provide for all of those people. So he said, thank you. Father, I thank you. And then he did an action that just backed up what he was thanking God for, and it showed where his faith was. He started distributing. He didn't stop and say, now how are we going to cut this up? Now 12 disciples, these 5 fish. No, he, thank you, God. Here, take it and give it to the people. Take it and give it to the people. Take it and give it to the people. 2 fish, 5 loaves. 5,000 people. Actually, 5,000 men. Besides the women and children. And you know men can eat. But everybody had their fill. That means everybody ate until they were. Why? Because Jesus said, thank you. When he was when they rolled the stone away and the stench of a body being dead 4 days hit all of them in the face, he said, I thank you that you've heard me. That's what he said. He said, I know you always hear me. And then he did an action to back up what he believed. Lazarus, come forth. And I had a thought about that. Because Mary came, and they said, if you've been here, my brother would not have died. Isn't that what she said? He said to her, your brother shall rise again. She didn't say, thank you. I know he'll rise again in the resurrection and the last day. How did Jesus respond? He said, I am the resurrection. Why didn't she say, thank you? If you believed it, you would say, thank you. Thank you. When she came to her sister, she didn't come go to her sister and say, Jesus is here. Our brother is going to live again. And her sister starts going, thank you, Jesus. No. Why? Because those things were unnatural. You didn't call someone out that was dead 4 days stinking up the place. You mourned them. That's what you did. And you certainly didn't say thank you because of it. Even if it was a brother you didn't like, you're not going to say thank you. I'm glad you're dead. But he said, thank you. He was saying, Father, thank you that you've heard me, because he told the folks, our friend Lazarus sleeps, I'm going to wake him up. And he knows God heard it. And he knew God was going to answer his prayer. So before he did it, he said, thank you. He didn't wait until after Lazarus walked out to say thank you. He said thank you because he believed that God was going to do what he said. How many of you believe God's going to do what he said concerning you? Then you want to say, you can't say thank you too much. I'm trying to get out of here. But see, if you can't say thank you, it's really a sign that you don't believe that God's going to do what he said. If you start complaining, you're demonstrating a lack of faith. Because if you know God's going to do it, what's there to complain about? You just say, thank you. Okay? When you pray, thank you, Father, that you've heard me. And know this. Philippians 4, in the Philips 4, verse 6 says, don't worry over anything, whatever. Give every detail of your need in earnest and thankful prayer. Thankful prayer, not begging and pleading. All we did, those of you that were here last Tuesday when Pastor Sarah was going in for open heart surgery, we thank God for doing what he said he was going to do. That's all we did. We didn't have to fall on our face and entreat God. Pastor Sarah already prayed. She said this is what God told her. We believed it, so we said, thank you. And the surgery just, yeah, they had to do a little more than they thought. What difference does it make? The bottom line is, she's still in the land of the living. She's still going, because she hasn't fulfilled her purpose, and she was willing to lay it all on the line and trust God. And just and encourage us. Just thank him. Just give him praise for what he's going to do. And that's what he did. And by the way, I got a text at 11:30. She was leaving to be transported to a rehab facility. Okay. That's right. Thank you. Okay. See, so we don't need a holiday. It doesn't matter if it's Black Friday, Blue Monday, Yellow Thursday, you know. It doesn't matter if you're surrounded by family or you're sitting alone. It doesn't matter if you have a turkey or a bent can of Chef Boyardee beefaroni. Okay. I mean, I didn't say, God, can I at least have meatballs? You know. No. I thank you, Father, because you shall supply my need. Now, understand this, because your thanksgiving is going to be challenged. In Daniel 6, again, it's familiar. King Darius, you know, he got duped, and he signed the law because Daniel got down on his knees 3 times and prayed and gave thanks. And even though he heard of the law, he wasn't moved by it. He still, and he didn't go into hiding. He still stayed in the window and prayed and gave thanks 3 times a day. And that because of it, he had to go into the den of the lion. Folks, just because you have to go into the den of the lion doesn't mean you're not coming out. All right. You need to understand that sometimes, because you've made a choice to do God's will, God's way, you may find yourself in the lion's den. But if you can continue to give thanks to God, he's going to do the same thing for you. He's going to eliminate the power of the lions over you. See, that's the thing. He didn't take away from the lions their power. He just didn't let their power have any effect on Daniel. That's all. And he cared for the lions. Why do you say that? He fed them afterwards. Everybody that lied on Daniel and their family got thrown into the lion's den. Okay? So don't get upset. You may be surrounded by lions. So what? It's another opportunity for God to demonstrate how he takes care of his children. I wasn't afraid of principals going up. Not that anybody should be afraid of their principal. But when I grew up, you know, principals had the right, it wasn't against the law for them to take your head and bash it into the blackboard if they thought that's what you deserved. I told this one principal as he was raising his hand like he was going to do that to me without even asking me what happened, I said, let me tell you something. I may not be able to stop you from banging my head into this blackboard, but nobody's going to be able to stop my mother for bashing your head in when I tell her what you did. He put his hand back down. Okay. Because I went home and I told mommy, and mommy went up the next day and let this man know he didn't have rights to put his hands on me, no matter what I did. And then she turned to me in front of him and said, and that doesn't give you a license to be disrespectful or misbehave, because should he call me and tell me what you did? I said, I know you don't say it. I know. She said it anyway. You'll be visiting the mulberry tree. Okay. I'm like, I hate that mulberry tree. But I didn't go through school afraid of people or things, because I knew no matter what happened, mommy had my back, period. And this is the important part. Even when I was wrong, she still didn't let anyone have rights over me. She took care of it, okay? Well, guess what? The Bible says, I'm trying to get out of here. I really am. I'm serious, I am. The Bible says in Luke, you know, as one of my favorite scriptures, Jesus said, behold, I give you power, physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall by any means harm you. What it does not say, nothing by any means will harm you unless you didn't do what I said. Doesn't say that. Didn't put any conditions there. So even when I'm wrong, I still have the right to exercise power over the enemy. I have to answer to God for what I did wrong, but Satan does not have a right to do anything to you. So you can say, thank you, God, no matter what comes, because if the enemy shows up, God's going to handle it. As Pastor Linton would say, it almost makes you feel sorry for the devil. All right? Okay, I'm going to read you this, and I'm going to make another attempt. This was an HGR. Holy Ghost revelation that God gave me on 1 Corinthians 15. It says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Jesus said that the Holy Ghost will guide us into all truth and show us things to come. That means in all things, the Holy Ghost will guide us into the truth that our God will deliver us, redeem us, provide for us. Then he'll show us being delivered, being redeemed, and receiving provisions. He's going to show us. Everybody's going to see that. That God's providing. We saw God provide. Yes, there are choices that had to be made so you get lined up with the provisions. See, if God is sending provisions to Carlstadt, New Jersey, I'm just named just throughout there. You're in Freehold, New Jersey. God says to you, go to Carlstadt. You don't have any known means of getting there. But all you have to do Say, thank you, Father. You're sending me to Karlstadt. I'm going. You must have something there for me. And you stop thinking about what you don't have, and you start thinking about what you do. I thank you that I have two legs that work perfectly. I thank you that I have a heart that's functioning properly. I thank you that there's a map that I can look at and show me which way to go. But even if I lose my map, thank you that I have the Holy Ghost who's going to guide me into all truth. And in this case, the truth is, how do I get from Freehold to Karlstadt? I have no idea how to get there from there, so don't ask me. Those are the names that just popped up. But you're thanking him along the way, and you get to Karlstadt, and you find out, wow, God, you had all this for me, and all I had to do was thank you and go? He'll show us being delivered. He'll show us being redeemed. When I say show us, I mean present us. People will see it. He'll do this openly. How could we not, in the midst of any trial or tribulation, get on our feet, throw our hands in the air, and shout out, thank you, Lord, because he's God. The Holy Ghost will guide us into everything that we need. All we have to do is give thanks. And the last thing I'm going to say, I was looking this up before we came out. In Colossians 1, verse 3, because this isn't just things we're talking about. How many of you have encountered some people that you don't particularly appreciate? Anybody?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, Paul said something. We give thanks to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Another translation, another scripture, I didn't copy it, says, I thank my God for you. Have you thanked God for that person? You know, you just need to think about it. That person is pushing all your buttons, turning all your knobs, look like that they're on assignment to make your life a living hell, and you're like, Father, I thank you for them. I thank you. Thank you because they're working out. They're helping me work out loving my brother, loving my sister. They're helping me work out having patience. They're helping me develop a love that is long-suffering. Okay? A love that is patient and kind. Thank you, Lord. You're giving me the opportunity to love them the same way Christ loves me. I'm telling you, folks, you start doing that, you'll feel the same way my brother felt when gifts started being poured on him. You'll actually start getting excited when you see that person come. Yeah, I don't believe that. I'm telling you, you will. Because you know something? You enjoy giving thanks to God. So this person is just another reason for you to get on your feet and say, thank you, God. Give you all the glory. This is your creation. Jesus died for her. Thank you for doing that on her behalf. See, that's being thankful. We have to always be thankful. I need you to stand.